Second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Listen again for God's word to us this day. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. The disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you've caught no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some there." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone to shore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask them, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Tuesday was Earth Day, and I planned to preach a creation care sermon on environmentalism and eco-justice and what have you. I was going to read the scripture text from Isaiah and John about the Apostle Peter and the disciples and Jesus on the beach, and then head on to Earth Day. And I was going to tell you all about how this Sunday after Easter we should remember that Jesus' resurrection means new life for all of creation, not just humans, but everything that God has made. But then I found myself thinking about Peter on that beach. But I was going to tell y'all about how we should have more respect for the resources of the earth because they, like us, are gifts from God. But then I found myself staring out at the waters with the disciples thinking about Jesus. And so now I don't have an Earth Day sermon. I have a sermon about being with Peter. But the more that I thought about it, I realized that the story that we've just heard, this is a story about creation care. It's a story about what God's love for creation looks like. It's a story that happens here in our world with things that we know, things that we understand, things like sadness and shame and betrayal, longing, hope, the beach, charcoal grills, fish, friendship, forgiveness, humor, restoration. At its core, it's our story. It's what it's like to be loved by a God who became our friend and brother in Jesus Christ. And so today we are going to sit down with Peter on the beach. It's been a rough week, the kind of week where you need a vacation, where you get home and you just collapse on the sofa, or if you're Peter, in the sand. You just collapse and stare, because honestly, what else can you do? It's been the roughest week for Peter, and his closest friends are sitting there too, Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and a couple of others, and they're just hanging out. Jesus has been crucified, dead and buried. And Peter was there too during the so-called trial. While the police beat Jesus and the priests questioned him, Peter stood just outside the gate with some of the other police, warming himself by the fire. It was a charcoal fire. And when they asked him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" He said, I'm not. They said, "You are, aren't you?" I'm not. But he was. He denied him. He denied Jesus in that moment. And then Jesus was gone. Peter never got to say goodbye. Peter must have been turning this all over in his head, you know, filled with shame, filled with regret. Maybe as he collapsed on the beach, he was finally exhausted from playing the story over and over again with all of the alternate endings that made Peter a hero. If only he had thrown that ash from the charcoal fire at the police and then rushed in past the gate and grabbed one of the swords from the guards and slayed them all like a Hebrew ninja and then whisked Jesus away. If only he had done that, but he'd have been a hero. But he wasn't, and he didn't. If only he could take those words back. I'm not his disciple. Or if only he had been there at Jesus' feet as he died and told the Lord how sorry he was. Jesus would have said, I forgive you. I love you. But that's not what happened either. And the guilt for what he'd done, the shame for who he is, not the rock, but a coward, I think that probably tore at him from within every cell of his body. And now he's just sitting on the beach with his friends because, again, what else are you going to do when you're totally shot and nothing makes sense to you? And you're not even sure what's real, and you're not even sure who you are. So they're just staring out at the sea as the sun sets, and nobody's talking except for maybe some seagulls. And I imagine that they were digging little holes in the sand with their hands and their toes and then filling them in again and then digging them again. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others look at each other and shrug, and they all load up on the boat and they push out into the sea for the night, because what else are you going to do after the week that they've just had? They head out to sea to be overcome by the darkness of night, overcome by the darkness of the water, overcome by the darkness. The mysteries of God envelop the soul in the dark, settle the stormy mind, and restore life. Naturally, this night they don't catch a thing, but they don't seem to mind. They are unwinding, they are shedding grief and despair. They're taking on the healing of the darkness. And Peter is completely naked at this point. And honestly, who cares? Because you know what? Good for him. The water surrounds him. The waters that once covered the earth before there were humans there to deny their best friends and mess everything up. The waters that once covered the whole earth to flood the hurt away. The waters surround him as he hears a voice from the distance as the light emerges from behind the hills, a light into the darkness. Children, you've caught no fish, have you? No? Jerk. Why don't you cast your net on the right side of the boat? You'll probably find some there. What a joke, like there are going to suddenly be fish on the other side of the boat. But do it. And then the net is so full that they can't even pull it in. And Peter is on his feet staring at Jesus, and it's John who says it. It's the Lord. And Peter sees it all as if it's happening at the same time. The police arresting Jesus in the garden, the denials by the charcoal fire, the rooster crowing, the way his heart beat and blood rang in his ears as he ran to the tomb and then found it empty. The way he could not breathe as he looked up at the balled up linens. He sees it all and he's in the water. He's surrounded by the water, like the water that he was baptized in, and like that water that became wine at that crazy wedding, like the water that makes all things new and brings life. And as he swam, the others sailed the boat through the waters to the beach, and Jesus sat back down next to the little charcoal fire that he had built. Maybe the words of the ancient prophet Isaiah swam through their minds. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overcome you. And as Peter came to shore, dripping wet, staring at the man cooking some fish over a charcoal fire, he remembered just a few days ago that he stood by a little charcoal fire outside the temple while some guards and then adamantly denied this man, now motioning at him to come and sit down with him. Maybe Isaiah's words washed up on the shore of his soul, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. And as Peter stared at the grilling fish, maybe remembering how this man once fed 5,000 people with two fish, Jesus spoke, bring some of the fish that you just caught. 153 of them. I've just got two. Maybe they laughed, and the water that had brought them all this life, that had cleansed them and healed them, that water, it glistened as they had breakfast on the beach there. And we sit there with them. It's after the resurrection when God has done a new thing through this man, Jesus, bringing life out of death, life out of the grave, that water, the water of life, it takes center stage. It's all around this story of redemption, of healing, of forgiveness, of rest and resurrection. It's water that Peter stumbles into from his broken, vulnerable nakedness, his hurt and his shame. It's water that catches him and washes him and gives him birth to the beach, to the feet of Jesus, to a warm breakfast of fish straight from the water. You see then how the story of Peter and Jesus on the beach is, it's our story. We, the people who bring our children and ourselves to these waters of baptism, we see the way Jesus brings Peter the wounded warrior through the waters, cleansing him of his sin and his shame, when the invitation to come, sit by the fire. Let's make this thing new. He didn't have to be there at the Lord's feet begging for forgiveness, because the light that Jesus brought into the world of darkness, standing there on the beach as the sun rose up over the hills, was the light of true, overwhelming grace. This is our story as we, the people who gather at a table and break bread together, see Jesus sitting on the beach with his broken-hearted friends as they break bread and grill fish and share in new joy and new life. This is exactly who Jesus is to us today. This is who Jesus is to us who feel guilt and feel loss and feel regret. We who at times feel overwhelmed and doubtful. We who have hope or long for it. Jesus is the one who comes to us while we are still in the darkness. Jesus does not fear the darkness. He spent 3 days in the darkness of the grave, and it's in the darkness of a very real death that Jesus brought him this very real new life. So Jesus comes, unafraid, and finds us in the darkness. He brings healing, and he brings rest in the darkness, and restoration and forgiveness in the morning's new light. And he will bring joy and humor again. And as we stand staring in awe of the man cooking fish on the beach, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, we are soaking wet from the waters of our baptism that brought us here to this sandy shore that is our church. And he smiles and he says, "Bring some of those fish and come have some breakfast." So this is our model for creation care this Earth Sunday. Our God in human flesh, enjoying fully his own creation and caring so much for it all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.